No, that's not code for it's my Friday. I'm just feeling it. Sometimes I'll bust out with that on a Thursday, and some of you will say, hey, what's up, Rome? It's not Friday. Oh, it is for me. It is for me. Except this is not, no, this is not one of those weeks. I'm just feeling it on a Thursday. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. No, it is not. Alvy, not cool, not funny. It is Thursday. It is definitely Thursday. You know, if I had done that and went as hard as I did on that, I guarantee two or three of you, I could have conned into thinking it was Friday. Like, damn, I've been kind of dragging ass around here thinking it's Thursday, but it's really Friday.
Today's Friday.
Some of you are gullible enough. I guarantee within one segment, I could have convinced you that it was Friday. But it's not. It's Thursday all day long. It's going to be a great day. Let me tell you about today's program. I'll start you off with your telephone number like I do every single day. I hit you early and often with that in the hopes that somebody comes in here early and gets himself in the rotation and can make a difference. 1-800-636-8686. Use the number. Dial it up. The drill is you get through the EP. Adam Hawk, he's going to ask you what you want to talk about. Make sure you have a good answer for him. If it's a good answer, he'll put you on hold. If I look at it on the screen and it looks like it's a call that's going to make a difference, I'll go right to you. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And you know to email me directly too. Next segment, a running back for the Minnesota Vikings, Latavius Murray. Showdown already in week two, Minnesota and Green Bay. Latavius Murray joins me in about 15 minutes. Coming up in hour number two, Rams wide receiver Brandon Cooks. I've got thoughts on the Rams and Sean McVay. Sean McVay is no longer a man. He's a machine. Have you seen this guy's photographic recall of literally every single play he's ever been involved with or every single play that he's ever called? That story's coming up and a conversation with Brandon Cooks, Boston Red Sox pitcher. Joe Kelly in hour number three. So lots of NFL and some MLB, and I've got some really good takes. It's going to be a good show. Ep 50 of the Jim Rome podcast dropped yesterday. My childhood idol, Ron Say, was in the house, the Penguin, for nearly an hour. If you heard that and you want to talk about it, do it. If you've not, look for it. It's fun, a lot of fun, and I'll reset that too. Let me start today with something that, you know, in the past, I've talked quite a bit about this team off the top, but not lately. They're just not worth it. They're boring. They're irrelevant. The Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys offense could not have been much worse in the last eight games of last season. They averaged 16 points per game. Dak Prescott, the next big thing, threw for less than a touchdown per game. He only went over 200 yards twice in the last eight games last season. So to put that another way, their offensive production in the second half of 2017 was lower than a crippled cricket's ass. Not my words. The words of Jerry Jones. Because I have no idea what that even means. Yeah, like I could even make something like that up. No, I got that from the owner himself. So, they know this. They went out in the offseason and they made a lot of changes. A number of coaches not named Jason Garrett and offensive coordinator Scott Linehan were canned. Dez Bryant, released. Jason Witten took a job in the booth. And the offense was supposed to be redesigned to better fit Dak Prescott. So knowing that, and the fact that Dallas would have Ezekiel Elliott to start the season, everybody was all hyped up to see the new-look Cowboys offense in week one. Until that new-look Cowboys offense actually took the field. And then nobody wanted to see it, any of it, because it was ugly. Seriously ugly. And not only were they not better than they were last season, they were arguably worse. Ugly. How ugly? Dak, 170 yards passing, no touchdowns, 6 sacks. Ezekiel Elliott, 15 carries, 69 yards, 1 touchdown. The offense as a whole was shut out for the first 51 minutes of that game. So that bad, that ugly. So exactly what the hell happened? Dak Prescott was the face of that franchise, the next legendary Cowboys quarterback. And now this guy routinely struggles to get over 200 yards passing. Ezekiel Elliott getting 15 carries for an entire game? I mean, that was, in a word, garbage.
Garbage.
Hot, steaming pile of garbage.
Steaming pile of garbage.
Garbage. Garbage. And worse than being bad, is being boring. That's the greatest sin of all. There's no shame in losing, but there's a lot of shame in being boring, especially if you have the ultimate look-at-me owner in Jerry Jones. Because the last thing that guy ever wants is for all of us to think, nothing to see here, keep moving. And that's exactly how things are with the Cowboys right now. They're not worth wasting our time on. Nothing to see here, keep moving. At least give me a train wreck that I can stop and rubberneck on. But they're not even that. They're just boring. Right now, they don't matter. They're irrelevant. They're boring. They're vanilla. They're not worth talking about. Not only are they a bad football team, they're the worst team content of all. Boring. Then again, that's just me. That's just me talking. What do I really know? I'll defer to somebody who does really know. Somebody who played there. Somebody who stacked Lombardis there. Troy Aikman. And Troy Aikman said during the broadcast that he was, quote, not seeing any creativity in the Cowboys' offense. And he's right. And he couldn't have put that any more politely than he did right there. Notice how he said that. He's just not seeing any creativity in the offense. However, Steven, son of Jerry Jones, was not cool with that at all. The team VP was asked about Aikman's comments on a radio program, and I thought his response was pretty curious, pretty rich. He said, quote, this is Jerry Jones' son. Quote, I just think at the end of the day, everybody can play armchair quarterback and point fingers after the fact. I do think we need to figure out how to get in a rhythm when you use six receivers and make sure everyone's in there for what they do best. I think that's a little bit of a work in progress, end quote. Whoa, hold up now. Did Steven Jones just say that Troy Aikman was playing, quote, armchair quarterback? Did that really happen? Because if so, that is freaking rich. Because if that did happen, that's a legendary comment. Instantly legendary. Because Troy Aikman is not an armchair quarterback. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. A Hall of Fame quarterback that wore your uniform. Implying that Aikman is an armchair quarterback is so ridiculous. It's so dumb that there isn't even a cliche or a trite phrase to apply to it. Like, that's not even the pot calling the kettle black, because in this case, the pot isn't even a pot. It's like a saucer, if that. I mean, I could spend an entire hour on how ridiculous it is for the guy who is the vice president of a team because his old man owns the team. Implying that a Hall of Fame quarterback is an armchair quarterback. I could do an hour, I could do a whole show on that, but I won't because it's way too easy. It's too absurd. I mean, what's next? Steven Jones throwing the he never played the game card at Roger Staubach? Maybe stab Emmett Smith in the back too? Furthermore, it's not like Troy Aikman is going way out of his lane to carve the Cowboys. He's a Cowboys legend. He's always represented that team with class and honor. He was a true professional as a player. He's a true professional as a broadcaster. And that means he's going to call it the way he sees it. And he sees a boring offense, a vanilla offense that can't move the ball, and an alleged star quarterback who looks like he's lost his mojo completely and is now just another guy under center. All true. Everything he said was true. All things he could have said but didn't, because he has too much class. Because he rocked the star that's on the side of that helmet. He could have said so much more. I mean, exactly what the hell did the son of Jerry expect this guy to say? That the offense is fire? That it's cutting edge? That it's impossible to defend? I mean, come on. Then again, I guess it is creative to take a pair of Pro Bowlers and turn them into completely anonymous players. That is pretty creative. And it takes a lot of work. But somehow Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan were able to do that. But don't worry, Jay and Scott, they're on it. They've got big changes this week. Linehan is moving up to the booth instead of calling plays on the field. Garrett said it was, quote, just something that he felt like he wanted to do. He's done it before in his career. He's continuing to call the plays in just from a higher vantage point. End of quote. And then Garrett went on to say, quote, people will tell you when you're up above, you see the whole game better. You see all 22. When you're down on the field, maybe you have a better opportunity to connect individually with the players, but you don't have as good of a vision on the game when you're on the field as you do when you're up above, end quote. That's their solution. That's the thing that's going to turn it around. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll open up that offense. Now that Linehan is going up above, I'm going to predict a 300-yard game for Dak, 200 yards for Ezekiel, because nothing turns an offense around like an offensive coordinator changing where he sits. I'm sure that's going to fix everything and elicit an apology from Troy Aikman and yours truly. Moving from the sideline to the booth, or the booth to the sideline, is the second biggest kiss of death in the NFL. The only thing worse than an offensive coordinator changing where he sits is when the head coach gives the offensive coordinator a public endorsement. Oh, and Jason Garrett did that too. Quote, I have a tremendous amount of faith in Scott, end quote. Yeah, well, that makes one of you, Jason. And everything Aikman said was true. Pretty much anything that anybody says about the Cowboys right now is probably true. But look at the bright side. At least we're still talking to you, about you, to you. And with Jerry Jones, the ring isn't necessarily the thing, but us looking at him and talking about him is. And we are doing that, at least for now. Cowboy fan, don't sweat this. You've got nothing to worry about. Your offensive coordinator is changing seats. 1-800-636-8686. Man, they are boring. Boring and irrelevant. And that's just a couple of things that Jarrah cannot have. All right, in addition to that, I really had to think about that for a minute. Did I want to start with the Cowboys or did I want to start with the Raiders? John Gruden and the Raiders did not live up to the hype. Sean McVay and the Rams smashed the hype. I've got thoughts on both of those teams. I'm not going to make this a Gruden v. McVay thing, because there's really no comparison right there. I mean, is there anybody anywhere who wouldn't rather have McVay? However, I do want to talk about the Raiders, and I want to talk about the Rams, and I've got takes on both of those teams and their head coaches. Aaron Rodgers, we're Thursday right now, and we're still not sure whether or not he's going to go against Minnesota. The status of Aaron Rodgers is the question heading into week 2 of the NFL season, especially with that showdown against Minnesota. Remember who knocked him out last season? Minnesota. He's not saying, they're not saying, but I want to get into that. And as I mentioned, Ep 50. I'm proud of that. Half century mark. Ep 50 of the Jim Rohn podcast is live right now. Los Angeles Dodgers great. Ron Say, the Penguin, my childhood idol, chopping it up with me in studio yesterday. That was such a blast. I've actually got some golf today for you. I've got a Tiger Woods take, and I've got a Ryder Cup take. We're talking Red Sox baseball later on. Dear Pimp, while those buster-ass Cowboys do suck, they were going up against the best linebacker in the league with a top-tier D-line. Signed Jeff from the 919. Wore Ross, putting up a picture of Rachel in the control room. Newest member of the XR4TI, Ross from Friends. Check him out if you're watching on CBS Sports Network. Yeah, I don't care how they looked in week 1. Well, actually, I do. I care how they looked in week 1 because they looked horrible the last 8 weeks of last season, and they made all those changes in the offseason, and it was supposed to fix everything, and it fixed nothing. They looked as bad, if not worse, in week 1. At Kevin the D tweets, it's almost like the Cowboys have kryptonite.
It's like kryptonite
wrapped around their necks. Tommy from NC tweets, damn, Rome, I thought it was Friday. I was ready to twist and shout. Sincerely, Sir Paul McCartney. Hey, Tommy, I see what you did there. If you do it again, you're going to get blocked. And I've never blocked anybody on Twitter. I'm proud of that. None of you can run around Twitter going, he blocked me. I got Rome to block me. He blocked me. I've never blocked anybody. If anybody gets blocked, it's because I inadvertently hit the block button. I've never blocked any of you in 10 years. And I won't. You know why? I don't care. I don't care what you tweet. You, Tom, I will make an exception for. One more tweet like that, if I see it. And I don't see all of them because I get hundreds of tweets every hour. If I see yours, Tom, you'll get blocked. You'll be the first.
Block! Block!
Latavius Murray, when we come back. I'm fired up on this gig. Why wouldn't I be? They pay me good money to talk sports every single day. I understand the opportunity. I understand how lucky I am. However, I don't disrespect it. I work. I prep. I want to bring a good show to you every single day. Part of that prep is getting a good night of rest. And I do because nobody in my house snores. Not my wife, not my kids, not my cats. Nobody, not me. We don't snore. So therefore, I get a good night of sleep every single night, and that's critical to my success. Because snoring is not sleeping. If you do snore, or somebody you know snores, you need to get a Zypa. Let me spell that for you. Zyppah. Zyppah.com. It's actually Happy Z spelled backwards. I wake up every single morning, and I feel great. I get up early, but I feel great because I sleep well every night because I don't snore. Nor does anybody else in my house. But if somebody in your house does, you're not sleeping. They're not sleeping. You're not getting rest. You're not recovering. There's a solution. It's Zypa. Zyppah. Go to zyppah.com. That way you make sure that you and everybody you know have happy Z's. Put an end to the snoring. Get a great night of sleep with Zypa. Once again, go to zypa.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Latavius Murray's on the clock. We're efforting him. Minnesota and Green Bay this weekend. Vikings are scary. They look tough. So we'll join him momentarily. There is something to be said for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know this. They also know that you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. And if you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong. Like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology. It reduces power-robbing friction, and it maximizes engine performance at the same time. Did you know, for example, that friction can rip 10% of performance from your engine? As an example, imagine being lined up against somebody who's running at full 100%. You're at about 90. That guy has the advantage. Castrol Edge has the advantage. It's strong under pressure. It reduces friction, so your engine can perform at its highest level at 100%. It's not only strong, it's three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. That's the strength you need and your engine needs to perform at the highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. As promised, we're joined right now by a Pro Bowl running back. For the Minnesota Vikings, he had 42 yards in Sunday's win over San Francisco, nearly 1,000 yards from scrimmage, 8 touchdowns last season. He was the 181st pick overall back in 2013 out of UCF. Minnesota's 1-0. They're at Green Bay on Sunday. Vikings running back Latavius Murray is my guest. Latavius, great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. All right, so let me ask you about the opening game. You beat the 49ers 24-16, and the team found a way to win on both sides of the ball. As you look back on that game, what did you like most about it? What kind of thoughts do you have?
That we found a way to win. I think defensively, obviously, they played big time in the red zone, forcing a lot of turnovers. That way it was I think you're looking at a completely different game. But offensively, we did enough, but I think we can be a lot better, and I think we're going to need to be. Just going forward.
Latavius Murray, my guest. Offensively, it was the regular season debut for Kirk Cousins. So what do you make of what he's brought to the team and to the offense?
A lot of excitement, a lot of energy. I think he has an arm on him. You've seen a few passes there to Diggs, especially to run to Rudy. Just a big-time playmaker. And so we're excited to obviously keep building off of that and the things that we did well the other night. We're just looking to just keep getting better, each week. And I think the sky's the limit for this offense and the weapons that we have on offense.
Yeah, right. I mean, when you look at the talent that you have on the offense, when you look at how nasty that defense is, the Super Bowl buzz is already building. So how are you dealing with that? For instance, is this something you like to hear, or are you just shutting that out completely?
Shutting it out, because we know it's a long way until, we get to that point. And so, we know for us, we have to take care of, week by week. And so we can't look no further than that. This the NFL, and, it's hard to win games week in and week out. So we can't look no further. We can't look to the Super Bowl. We have to take care of business right now and, just prepare each week for the opponent we have and and we'll see where that takes us.
And that opponent's Green Bay this week. Vikings running back Latavius Murray, my guest. Dalvin Cook and the other running backs refer to you as the big brother of the running backs room, and that you're the guy who leads them and shows them the ropes. What's that role mean to you, and how do you go about approaching it?
Yeah, it means a lot because, you know, when I came in as a rookie, I had guys older than me that, took me under their wing and treated me the right way. Didn't treat me like I was a rookie. Didn't treat me as if they were too good because they had a lot of years and experience. They took me under their wing. And so I try to do the same thing for Dalvin and the other young running backs in the room. Give them advice, help them out, try and do what I can to make them a better pro. And that's on the field and off the field. And again, because I was treated that way, that's the only way I know how to go about it.
And I would imagine one of the guys you're talking about is Maurice Jones-Drew. He was like the big brother in your running backs room. So where did you learn about him or from him about being a professional running back?
Yeah. Well, I think as you look at Maurice's career and obviously the things that he's doing right now, so I think he really set himself up for a life after football. And he was doing, I think, a talk show during his career, maybe at the end of his time in Jacksonville and then even in Oakland. Connecting, networking, just doing more, doing what you can. When you have that off day and when you're off the field, and then obviously the way he went about the game and his preparation, his knowledge about the game. He played so many years, and he played it at a high level, and it showed in the meeting rooms. And so learning a lot from him there, technique and protections and things like that.
Latavius Murray joining us. So you've got the Packers on Sunday, as I mentioned. Every game is important, without question. But does it feel even bigger when it's the Vikings and the Packers?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a rivalry game. You're talking about Green Bay. You're talking about a division game in Green Bay. And, at this point, at this moment, it doesn't get bigger than that for us. It is the next game, but it's, again, as I said, it's a division game. It's in Green Bay, so this is a great opportunity for us to, again, take it to the next level, see how we match up against their defense and test the character of our team in general.
And then are you expecting to see Aaron Rodgers on the field?
He's done some good things. He's talking about a future Hall of Famer and a competitor at the highest level. And so I would expect him to find his way on the field. But again, we're preparing for whichever quarterback that they decide to play. And, I think we'll be ready to go either or.
Vikings running back Latavius Murray, my guest. I saw you tweeting about your former Raiders teammate Khalil Mack on Sunday. What did you make of how things ended for him in Oakland and then that trade to Chicago?
I think it was very surprising because, if I was being honest, when my time in Oakland, defense had a lot of ups and downs, but one thing that remained constant was Khalil's play and the things that he did on defense. And I think it was easy for anybody to see that he was no doubt the best defensive player on that team, if not the best player on the team. So to see a guy like that walk out of an organization or get away is just was surprising to me. But again, when you look at it from the business side, because you have to, what Oakland received for Khalil and then what Khalil received financially from the Bears, you can say it's a win-win for them both at this point. So you can't ever ignore the business side of things because at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Latavius Murray joining us for a few more moments, having a really nice conversation right now. Listen, being in Chicago means that you're going to see him twice a year. So when you get the ball and you see him in the hole, how do you go about dealing with him? Do you try to throw a move or maybe you just try to run the guy over?
You got to do whatever works.
That
specific play. I'm going to try to stay away from him, put it that way. I'm going to try to get away from him as much as I can. We'll try to put hats on him. You have to, because as you've seen the other night, he's definitely a game wrecker. But we won't have to worry about Khalil, at least not for a few weeks. So we'll have to worry about what Green Bay does at this point and deal with Khalil when that time comes.
You know, before I let you go, I want to ask you about something that was unfortunately very, very sad over the summer when offensive line coach Tony Sperano passed away. You, of course, played for him in Oakland and again in Minnesota. He used to call you Honey Bear and Sugar Bear after your dyed hair. Are you able to really put into words what he meant to you as a player and as a person?
I mean, you really can't. It's hard because, you know, I think everything is about relationships and you know, the growth that Tony and I had, you know, in Oakland, him taking over as the head coach and me becoming a starter while he was the head coach. And then it kind of started from there, my career in Oakland, to be honest. And then coming here as a free agent and Tony being the offensive line coach, and, you know, the success we had last year, it's definitely hard to put in words, but, you know, he's impacted my career, in a very, very positive way. And I'm appreciative that I got to spend, you know, more than half my years with him that I've been in the NFL. Very, very thankful for that. So, you know, again, we know what Tony will want this season. And so that's helped us, kind of, you know, rest, and have ease knowing that he will want us to go out there and, you know, play this game at a high level and do whatever it takes to win. And so that's how we, you know, we've been approaching this. And, you know, hopefully we can remember him this season with a very happy ending.
Latavius Murray, my guest, you know, a final thought, and it keeps coming up when players talk about Sperano, is how much he cared about the guys, and not just his players, but his men. For instance, you're working on an MBA from Syracuse. You went to Europe in the offseason. You're engaged to be married. You just had a son. I would imagine that he'd be thrilled for you about all those things. Let me quickly ask you about the MBA. You've already got so much on your plate. Why was it important for you to pursue an MBA and to do it right now? And what's that like?
Yeah, well, for one, the NFL gives us the opportunity to do so. And, you know, they provide money for it if you want to go back to school. So I think that was the, you know, first thing. I remember reading a book, listening to an audio book, and they were saying, you know, obviously, you know, college tuition is very expensive, but when you have the opportunity to do it for free, like me, a full ride going to UCF, and then now even going back to get a master's, and it's paid for, you know, you'd be, it would behoove you not to, you know, ignore that. So, given that opportunity, I had to take advantage, and it was a chance for me to grow and learn and, again, try to think about my time after football when I'm done and see what other avenues, it takes me.
Keep trying to get rid of you, but one last question. You mentioned UCF. You're one of the legends of UCF football. The program's coming off an undefeated season. They're 2-0 right now. How much pride do you take in the fact that you were one of the guys that played a huge role in building that program to what it is now?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride. It was one of the reasons why I went to UCF because of, I guess, where they were at that point and where they wanted to go in the direction that they were going. And I wanted to be a part of something great. And, you know, I remember, you know, when we graduated and, you know, each year I think they kind of kept maybe getting better and better. They went to obviously a different conference that had a lot more competition and just that reminder of like, yeah, you know, this was, you know, a result of, you know, my hard work and every other teammate that I played there with, the point that they're at right now. And obviously there was no better season last year than the one they had. And, you know, hoping that they can repeat that this year. And I'll be watching every way regardless. That's definitely home.
So far, so good. They're 2-0, and they're coming off an undefeated season. Minnesota 1-0, and they're at Green Bay on Sunday. Latavius Murray, my guest. Didn't mean to keep you so long, Latavius, but it was a
no
great
problem.
Conversation, man. Great to get caught up. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Jim.
You too, Latavius. Great having you back. Appreciate you. Latavius Murray. Good, good interview. All right, Viking fans, you're loaded offensively. You know you've got a nasty, nasty defense. Does it feel like Super Bowl or bust? He said, we're not thinking about that. We know the expectations are there. We know what we can do. We know our upside. We're not thinking about that. But they've got the looks of a team that can run or go the distance. Them and a few others. Next up, Green Bay. And he said, we know about Aaron Rodgers. We know what he's about. We know how competitive he is. We'll prepare for any option or all possible alternatives, but we would not be surprised to see that guy in the field. So what do you do if you're Green Bay? It's one thing to go back on the field when you've got crazy adrenaline, but if you spend the entire week and you're trying to get ready, do you run that risk to win a game right now? Huge game in division, but do you want to jeopardize what's going to happen later in the season if you play him right now? Or do you put it all out there? We will get into all those things. Open phones right now, though. I've got Brandon Cooks coming up next hour. Joe Kelly coming up in hour number three. I want to talk about the Raiders. I want to talk about the Rams. I want to talk Ryder Cup. I want to talk Tiger Woods. Ron Say in studio yesterday for Ep 50. Already thinking about RPO, episode number two of our brand new podcast. Man, we got a lot going on. Lots of going on. The NFL season is underway, and I am late, so let me get out right now. Here's the sports update for you. Andrew Bogut. The long, tough road to Super Bowl 53 on CBS continues with an awesome doubleheader, Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Then a rematch of the AFC Championship game, New England battling Jacksonville. The day kicks off at 12 Eastern with the NFL Today presented by Jeep. NFL Today on CBS. I'm going to do my appearances on that show again this season. My first one is not this weekend, but next weekend somewhere in Southern California. I'm not sure where. When my man Drew Kalisky tells me, I will tell you. This tweet from Jeremy Inscani: the Vikings are scary and tough. Yours, Northern Europe. Nate in Grand Rapids. Hey, Rome. Giving your offensive coordinator a higher vantage points can revamp a stagnant, boring offense. Hopefully the Lions will hire Richard Branson and blast Jim Bob Cooter into space on a space X flight to the moon. Yeah, they might, but wasn't the entire broadcast on Monday about how Jim Bob Cooter and Matt Stafford are aligned and connected, and even with the change in the coaching staff, the one thing that was not going to change was that J.B. Cooter would still be there for Matt Stafford? And then you got this. This is really interesting. So when I mention the name, let's do a little word association quickly. I'm going to say something, and you tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. All right, ready? Danica. Tenderonis, right? Danica made this now infamous call to the jungle, and it got her a golden ticket for the smack off. You remember Danica in Jacksonville?
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
It's a classic, classic lady clone call. War lady clones. I'm out of money. The only thing I can do is go to the Jaguar game, get drunk, find a tenderoni, and take him home and ruin him.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Danica. So why am I saying this? It's not because she's on hold, but she is on Twitter. At Nika989 tweets, hey, Rome, Ross looks succulent to me. I just need 5 minutes. Damn, Ross. Danica has never rolled up on any of the XR4 Ti before. Certainly not Hawk or Chael or Dallas or Alvy. Sure as hell not the flight deck. Not even me, but old Ross. Hey, Rome, Ross looks succulent to me. I just need 5 minutes. Ms. Nika, you may get a retweet for that. You might get a retweet. That's so good. Hey, Ross, all she needs is 5 minutes. All right, moving along. I've got thoughts on the Raiders I want to get to. And in fact, I thought that I'd be into them already, but I'm not. Because I'm looking at my call screen, and there he is. Rather than me suggest what he might do, what he should do, ask him what he wants to be, I'm just going to go right to the phone call and see what happens. Because I know what's going to happen. It's going to end with him getting run. And three or four of you saying, this guy's the best guy ever. And most of us saying, hey, Rome, why did you do that? Or who knows, maybe he will surprise me. We go to Albuquerque. I know I'll take this call. It'll get run. Three or four of you will say, why did you do that? This guy's so funny. And there'll be that one other guy in Albuquerque who hates his guts, who calls up and says, stop taking his call. Lance in the ABQ. Not a fan of Rex in the ABQ. What are you going to do? Right to the front of the line. Rex in the ABQ. Hey, Rex, what's up?
Hey, Romy. You know, I'm not a fan of the Raiders or their commitment to excrement, but these guys need to stop stepping on their own junk every chance they get. Now, I'm going to talk slowly to you, Raider fans, so you understand. You don't pay a quarterback $20 million per year after one good season. At least have them back it up with another before betting the franchise on them. Another thing that Al Davis's idiot son doesn't realize is that games are won on the lines. So if you have a guy like Khalil Mack who can rush the passer and stop the run, you place a blank check in front of him, politely ask him to fill out whatever amount he wants, then you sign it. Then you offer to cover his ATM surcharges. Lastly, there's no coach out there that can impact a game enough to justify $10 million a year. Last time I checked, Chucky wasn't under center or hand-checking Antonio Brown at the line of scrimmage. And, Romy, just finally, you say that Hawk is the ultimate cooler. I say it's Winston Churchill. Who yells out his name when they're hanging out with their friends? And I mean hanging out.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Rex, I thought that was the call you got racked. I thought that was the call that you made to the very end, got racked, and then I broke out that golden ticket. I was so proud of you, Rex. I mean, in the back of my mind, I knew that you would go Rex before it was over. And I really knew it was going to happen when you broke out Winston Churchill, because that's got nothing to do with anything unless you happen to see that rather unfortunate story involving Sir Paul and John and Ringo and George. But damn, Rex, I really started to think you had it in you. I thought today was the day that you got racked and got a golden ticket. But I was wrong. Alas, I was wrong again. And I love the way you slowed your delivery at the very end. And I mean hanging out. And I agreed with everything you said up until then. I'm like, wow, this guy's making sense. Agree, agree, agree. And then, Romy, what about Winston Churchill? And guys yelling, why would you yell his name while you're all around there just hanging out? I don't know, Rex. Why don't you just let it be? Back in the USSR, Rex. Let it be. In times of trouble, Rex. Don't call this show. Just let it be, Rex. Keep Winston Churchill's name out your mouth, Rex. Hey, Rex, allow me to whisper words of wisdom to you. Rex, Rex, stop calling. Stop calling and doing things like that, Rex. You're embarrassing yourself and your family, and Lance hates your guts. Let it be, Rex. Stop it. Yeah, I'm really surprised that story jumped today. We'll be talking about that next week. Except we're not talking about it. 1-800-636-8686. Rex is done. He's had his fun. Keep moving. Coming up next hour, Brandon Cooks, LA Rams wide receiver. Come on now. I can easily make this a no-call show. You know that. I can go the entire year without a phone call and then show up the day of the smack-off and then bang 20 phone calls. It can work. It would work. Be a hell of a show, actually. Stucknut. All right, see now, Stucknut. Stucknut is a guy who's had a forum about this show. Stucknut has literally chronicled this show for 20 years or more. This guy knows everything there is to know about this show. He knows more about this show than I know about this show. So here's what he has to say about Rex. He tweets, Rex in ABQ is the best guy ever. Not the best call ever. Not the best contributor ever. Best guy ever. Etimo Gonzo, Jim, Rex and his butthead voice is the absolute best. Hey, like I said, there's always three or four of them when this guy calls. There's two of them. We're coming right back, and when we do, we talk about the Raiders and the Rams both. I am in SoCal. Stay tuned.